This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth is a professor of political science and public administration and the director of the Center for Public Policy at Virginia Commonwealth University in the big capital down the road, Richmond. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Coy. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you for spending some time with us. I know you're busy getting ready for the session. You're going to be watching that, and everybody and their brother is asking you questions right now. So I want to thank you for making some time for us.
My pleasure.
Really appreciate it. And before we go any further, let's let everyone know that you have a new blog online, VirginiaTomorrow.com, and it has very quickly become required reading for anybody who wants to keep track of Virginia politics. Congratulations.
Sure. It's been a lot of fun, and you know what I'm trying to do is to find a way to have a nonpartisan political blog, if that's possible, and secondly, to have one that's also entertaining without being cynical.
There you go. So let's try to be entertaining without being cynical here for the next few minutes, talking
Great.
About a little Virginia politics. We'll talk about the elections coming up, smoking, transportation, the budget. I guess the headline this Monday is the fact that the General Assembly will be back in session in just a couple of days.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have a couple of things going on in this session. On one hand, everyone's talking about the budget. One of the grimmest budget forecasts that we've seen in quite some time. And I think everyone around the Commonwealth knows that because it seems that every day there's a new headline from a school district talking about the pressure that they're under.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, you know, we just don't have the money. What is the shortfall right now? Is it almost $3 billion?
No, it's almost $3 billion, but almost everyone, you know, very interestingly, a lot of folks in the Assembly and from both sides of the aisle essentially are saying they think it's going to go larger. The Republicans have been saying for some time they think it's going to be a minimum at $3.5 billion after we hear the latest word in February. And not too many Democrats are dissenting from that. In fact, I've heard people start to talk about close to $4
billion. Wow. So we're talking with Bob Holsworth of VCU. Bob, bring that down to the ground for us. What does that mean? I mean, are we talking about, you know, school teachers losing their job? How bad is this going to get?
Well, it depends on, you know, what locality you're in, because in Virginia there's a mix of local effort and state effort in terms of funding schools. But a number of schools are saying they're likely to have to lay off some personnel, whether they be teachers or support personnel. We'll have to see that district by district. Secondly, class size is likely to get larger now. Whether it's going to be just one student per class larger, which I think the public could accept, or something far, far more aggressive than that, we'll have to see. And then my guess is that if you're at a Virginia college and university, you're going to see your tuition go up considerably next year.
Gosh. And this could really get worse before it gets better. I mean, the economic outlook on the macro scale is not good at all.
Well, you know, right now people are talking about what we need to do to get through this budget cycle, because the state budget cycle and most local governments run from July 1 to June 30th. What everybody's looking at right now is, you know, 09-10 through June 2010, and then they're hoping that things turn around then. So a pretty grim forecast right now, and certainly the legislators are going to have to deal with this. Governor Kaine, you know, has basically found that his capacity to fund any of the programs that he wanted to make signature initiatives is really, really limited right now.
Yeah, and that opens up a door here. What about that? I mean, when he came into office, his legacy, and he made it clear, was going to be education, and he was going to start this new initiative for pre-K education, try to reach more children with pre-K programs, which everybody agrees is a good thing. But then we just realized, you know, we just don't have the money for this.
Well, you know, the other thing that happened is that Governor Kaine decided that while his own interests were around education, the Commonwealth's most urgent interest, he said at the time, was around transportation. And he got, after 2 years, they got one compromise finally passed that the state Supreme Court unanimously said was unconstitutional. So that broke down. They'd never been able to put it together again. But isn't this, Coy, a very curious legacy? On one hand, in political terms, he's achieved what I call a superfecta that no one could have hardly imagined. Kaine won by more than Warner in 05, Webb wins in 06, the Democrats take control of the Senate in 07. Obama carries the state as a Democrat for the first time in 44 years. No surprise that the president-elect would want Tim Kaine as head of the Democratic National Committee. On the other side of the ledger, however, is that it's really been tough sledding on the policy front as governor, and it looks as if he's going to leave the governorship without a big signature initiative that usually characterizes Virginia gubernatorial terms.
So his legacy will be framed more by campaign politics than policy.
Yeah, I think his legacy is going to be more about the success that the Democratic Party as a party had under the time that he presided as governor, more so than these kind of big legislative initiatives. We know we're not thinking like the SOLs, the Warner tax package of 04, the no car tax of 07, or 97 of Gilmore's. We're not seeing much of that at all, but what we are seeing is a Democratic Party that has experienced quite a bit of resurgence here in Virginia.
My guest is Bob Holdsworth. He's professor of political science and public administration and director of the Center for Public Policy at Virginia Commonwealth University. Honored to have him on the program. And the phone lines are open at 977-1070. You got a politics question, this is the man to ask. Pick up the phone, give us a call, 977-1070. So, Bob, how do you think the General Assembly is going to play out over the next few weeks? I mean, are we talking a lot of fireworks? Is this going to be pretty quiet?
Well, this all takes place in the backdrop of an election year, so I think there's going to be a lot of fireworks over issues that can be utilized for the election. Clearly, I think you're going to see some controversy on these high-profile issues like the cigarette tax, the smoking ban, those kind of matters. What Governor Kaine seems to have done by putting in a cigarette tax that he basically, I think, has to believe the House Republicans won't pass, is that he's in a very clever way passed the buck on about $200 to $300 million of cuts over to the House. You know, he said, "I've taken all the first cut at this. Now I'll leave you guys with the real tough job. Find that last $200 to $300 million."
Where are they going to find it, Bob?
You know, one never quite knows. I mean, clearly there's going to be some effort to revisit formulas in places like K through 12 education. That what happens in Virginia is that we have these formulas that say how much money needs to be given to education. So they'll rejigger the formula to find ways of giving $300 to $500 million less in some fashion.
Which will have the effect of passing the buck down to the local municipalities, so they have to come up with the money.
Right. And in some instances, it basically tells the local municipalities that we'll ease a mandate on you. Your class size won't have to be as small. You can raise class size by a little bit. Maybe you don't have to provide this kind of instructional support service. So in a way, in some instances, the localities are going to have to find some dollars that are going to be tough for them to find. And in other instances, the state will be easing mandates.
Before we move on to talk about this year's elections, what are we going to see vis-a-vis transportation this year? And will anything we see in Virginia be affected by Barack Obama's big public works initiative in Washington?
Well, you know, that seems to be what everybody's looking for right now. It's one of the curious things that I mentioned on the Virginia Tomorrow site is that, you know, if you take a look at the national dialogue, all the talk radio show hosts on the conservative side are blasting away at this package. They're calling it socialistic. A number of Republicans in Congress are talking about it as socialistic. But it seems that everybody in Virginia, regardless of party, can't wait to get their hands on some of this socialist money. I think down in Hampton Roads the other week, they had a meeting between local area officials and the senators and delegates from the General Assembly. And one delegate described the area as a target-rich environment for the Obama stimulus package.
Yeah, they might get that third crossing after all.
So socialism's okay if it comes our way, I guess.
Bob Holdsworth is with VCU, and his new blog, Required Reading, if you want to follow Virginia politics, is virginiatomorrow.com. Bob, let's talk about the elections this year. November, of 09, Virginians will choose a new governor, likely a new lieutenant governor, a new attorney general, slew of local elections going on around the state. Let's talk first, if we can, the easy one is the Republican nomination for governor. Bob McDonnell got that nomination and will be running. Tell us, and of course, Bill Bowling will be running for his seat again as lieutenant governor. Tell us your thoughts about the Republican side of the ticket.
Well, I think Bob McDonnell actually is going to be one of the strongest Republican candidates that we've had in a decade. He's a very smart guy, very clever, good listener, very quick politically. He's gotten a lot better on the stump. I've seen him in a number of public settings over the last couple of months. Really impressed with his ease in front of large crowds. He's far more humorous than he used to be. So I think he's a pretty formidable candidate. And the interesting thing to the whole backdrop to this election, Coy, is the fact that years ago, Virginia decided to maintain what we call these off-cycle elections. And it was done largely because the Virginia Democrats wanted to distance themselves from the national party. They wanted to detach our elections from the national elections. The big irony that's occurred is that because there are only two gubernatorial elections next year, us in New Jersey, we've become, in some instance, the only game in town nationally. So far from being detached from the national context, Virginia's gubernatorial election is going to be right at the center of the national political debate for the next 11 months.
It'll get a whole lot of national media attention, the campaigns.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be the first referendum on Obama. Now that Kaine is DNC chair, what would the Republicans like more than to embarrass him in his home state? And many national Republicans really like Bob McDonnell. They've met him. They think he's a very talented guy. They're going to fund him very heavily as well. And at the end of the day, they hope that McDonnell can be the catalyst for a Republican resurgence in the congressional elections in 2010. So far from being detached from the national stage, Virginia is right in the eye of the storm right now.
Very interesting. We're talking with Bob Holdsworth of VCU. His blog is virginiatomorrow.com. And now let's mix things up a little bit. It gets a little bit more difficult. We'll jump to the other side of the aisle. And the Democratic race for the nomination for governor has now three, not two, but now three candidates, Cree Deeds, Brian Moran, and former DNC chair, national chair, Terry McAuliffe.
I mean, what a surprise for the Democrats. They actually have competition for the gubernatorial nomination. Coy, this is really the first time in a generation since 1985 that the Democrats have had a hotly contested battle for the governorship nomination. Brian Moran and Cree Deeds, two very solid guys from the legislature, were going to battle it out. And all of a sudden, parachuting in is the former head of the DNC, former chair for fundraising for Hillary and Bill Clinton, Terry McAuliffe, and he's quite the figure. I mean, he comes in with a lot of big ideas. He has irrepressible energy, and he has changed the dynamic of the Democratic race overnight. At the end of the day, I don't know if he's going to win, but he's raised the bar. He's going to raise a ton of money, you might say, but even beyond that, he's coming in with plans on transportation, plans on economic development, trying to attract new companies to Virginia, big jobs plans for Virginia. He's going to make every candidate in this race, in some ways, respond to his ideas. And at the end of the day, win or lose, I think that's a good thing for Virginia, Coy.
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth of VCU. Bob, I have to back up for a minute and completely agree with you. I think Bob McDonnell is going to be a very strong candidate and, frankly, hard to beat this year. Looking at the three Democratic nominees for the candidacy for governor, who do you think sort of talk about how each would run against him? How do you beat Bob McDonnell, and which of those three can beat him?
Well, the Democrats want to try to beat McDonnell the way they've been winning most elections recently, I think. On one hand, they want to, run up this large margin in Northern Virginia by arguing that McDonnell and the Republican Party in general is out of touch with the interests of the people in Northern Virginia, whether this be on matters like transportation or whether this be on insensitivity to issues such as immigration in a part of the state that is, you might say, the multicultural capital of Virginia. So I think that's how they're going to run against McDonnell. Terry McAuliffe, I think he comes in. He comes in with he's a nationally savvy guy. He has a tremendous media presence. He's going to raise an absolute ton of money, and he's going to argue that Democrats have better ideas for how to govern than the Republicans do. I think Brian Moran and Cree Deeds, if either of them get the nomination, are going to run actually a fairly similar race. Cree Deeds ran against McDonnell for attorney general, lost by a couple hundred votes. Moran believes he has a very large base in Northern Virginia and the metropolitan areas of the state, and he thinks he can win. Cree Deeds, the distinctive feature that he has as somebody who comes from Bath County, he runs better in rural Virginia than most Democrats traditionally do.
Interesting. That's interesting stuff. It's going to be a fun year.
Yeah, it's going to be a great year, and you know, it's just going to go on and on, too, because we have the assembly session. And then, as I said, once Terry McAuliffe came into this race, people are talking, Coy, of potentially raising $80 to $100 million total for the primary and gubernatorial election here in Virginia. And if you consider that Barack Obama spent nationally about $650 million and that the Virginia gubernatorial election alone could be 15% of that, it's a good year to own a television station and maybe even a radio program.
That is absolutely staggering that we're seeing that.
Yeah, it's just shocking. Now, I think overall McAuliffe is going to have to, and I think he will, come out as a person who has strong ideas rather than be seen as simply a political ATM machine, because given all that's gone on in the economy the last 6 months, the moral authority of big money has been somewhat diminished here.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, before we let you go, the Hill newspaper recently announced its top 10 most vulnerable incoming freshmen, the folks, I guess, who are most likely to lose in 2010 and just serve one term. 10 people, and Virginia has two of those, and they're in the top five. No surprise, Tom Perriello in at number three and Glenn Nye in at number four. How do they prove the Hill wrong, you think?
Well, I think they have to do what Congress people normally do, and that is to engage in superb constituent service, let the people back home know they're working for them. And very often, if you do that, you can overcome whatever ideological dimensions to your district might put you on one of those lists. So, and my guess is that these are two very bright, very smart people. They're not just there for 2 years and giving up the seat without one heck of a fight.
Bob Holsworth, professor of political science and public administration at Virginia Commonwealth University, and the new proprietor of Virginia's latest political blog, Nonpartisan, not cynical at all. It's virginiatomorrow.com, a must read, and I highly recommend it. Bob, always look forward to talking to you. Thank you so much.
Okay, you take care, Coy. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.